Welcome to Mahurangi Vineyard Church. At Mahurangi Vineyard, our desire is to love God, love people, and love life, that the message of God's kingdom and the invitation to his table would be known to all. If you'd like to learn more, give financially, or get connected, please visit mahurangivineyard.org. We hope this message is an encouragement to your soul.
Well, welcome everybody to church. It's great to have everyone here. So today we're kicking off our third portion of our Kia Kaha, Kia Maia, Kia Mana Wanui series. In case you are new here, we do record and upload all of our sermons to our podcast, which is on the mahurangivineyard.org website. So I do encourage you to go back and listen to the other parts of this series. So we kicked off in February with Kia Kaha. Then in June, we did Kia Maia, and we're doing a three-part series of Kia Mana Wanui this morning. And I really feel like this morning is going to be a special morning. I mean, we should say that every Sunday morning when we come to church, right? But really do feel like that God is going to do something incredible this morning. I really feel like, especially in, I would say, the Vineyard movement, and I say that because I'm part of it, and I've been exposed to the recent conference that we've had. We've got some of the kids at the live camp across the other side of the coast, and God is doing some amazing things, especially through our youth. And so I'm expectant for that same Spirit of God to be upon us here this morning. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity to freely come. God, we thank you for everybody that said yes to coming here this morning. And Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would pour upon us, as it has done over this worship time, that it will continue in this ministry, in this sermon time, and as we lean into ministry as well. God, we give you the glory and ask that you would be glorified through everything that is spoken, that you would speak freely through me, and that, God, you would reveal your Son in a precious way, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can get our slide up. I have dubbed today's message, To Splash or Not to Splash. So we've got my son Shiloh on the left-hand side. That's a photo that he took while he was there. This was during school, by the way. And then those are not my children. Those children belong to Google. But I wanted to have a photo of a kid splashing in a puddle. We actually have another photo that I popped in. Is that there? Oh, there we go. That's my son yesterday with his neighbor mate. So he came in the house and said, "Dad, I'm wet." He wasn't dirty at this point, and I said, "Go for it, son." And then this is what ended up happening. So this, our message today is to splash or not to splash. But before we get into the message, I actually wanted to invite up one of our special tamariki. Ollie, do you want to come up and bring something that you want to share this morning? So do we have the other microphone? So this is my friend Ollie, and I was on Tribe a couple weeks ago, and Ollie came to me and he said, "Niall, I really want to show this painting that I've done." So Ollie has done this painting, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Ollie, do you want to tell us a little bit about this painting?
How I made the trees, I used a skillet brush.
Cool.
But for this bit, the sticks, I just used a normal paintbrush.
Cool, Ollie.
And I used lots of, and then I smoothed them all out. And that was the first step to do that. And then what I did is that me and Mum did some glass, and then she accidentally did that, so we turned it into a can. And then we, made some palm trees, and then we made a white moon, but then we changed the idea to make it, that type of moon.
How long did this take you, Ollie?
It took me a couple of days because I had breaks and stuff. A
couple of days?
Yeah, because I took breaks.
Fantastic.
There were a couple more steps into, there were a lot more steps into this.
Awesome, bud. Thanks so much for sharing. So I wanted Ollie to come up and to share that. One, because he's one of our tamariki. Two, because it's a fantastic painting. He said it took him a couple of days. I reckon if I had started that 36 years ago, it probably still wouldn't look that good if that was me doing it. So thanks for doing that, bud. I really appreciate it. And the boldness for you to come up too. I just want to say and speak over your life, boldness of the Lord upon you. that you would be a young man to grow into a man of stature, to share and represent Jesus. And just as you have boldly and done so well to artistically paint something beautiful for us to see this morning, may the fragrance and the beauty of the Lord be upon you to be able to share that word with those around you, mate. So bless you, bud. You are free to go to Tribe 2 if you do want to go to Tribe. Otherwise, you can hang out here. That's fine. Okay, cool. He's with the big kids today. All right, good. Okay, so I have got these things here, and I'm going to pass them around. So I want you... Now, I don't think we're going to have enough. So if you are 20 years or older, you may grab one. Sorry, if you're under 20, you have to pass it on. I want you to take one, but don't read it. Just hold on to it. We can go back to the, sorry, can we go back to the first, that title slide? So you can hold on to it, don't read it. This is for after the service. What these are little notes of words or encouragements that have been written by our tamariki for you. So we've had Tribe, Amped, and Youth all participate in writing something. So I'm sorry if you're in the back row. Hey, this is why we come up to the front, guys. All right. So, so if you do miss out, I want you to know the Lord loves you all the same. Okay, so be encouraged. But the tamariki of our church wrote something for you, and I firmly believe that while we may have randomly handed these out, that I believe that each of these things that you have received, the one that you picked, is for you this morning, and that God can speak that over you. And it might be something as simple as God loves you. But hey, who needs to be reminded each day that there's a loving Father that loves us, right? Cool. Okay, we can go to slide number 3, our verse for this morning. Mark 10, 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them. Oh yeah, I'll read this and I'll give you context. And they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me, do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms, the children, and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Okay, so context there, we have this beautiful scenario of Jesus. He's in the region of Judea at a specific place that he likes to teach, which you can read about in the beginning of the chapter. And the crowds, all sorts of people have gathered in the crowds. We've got adults, we've got Pharisees, we've got parents and their children. And at some point during his teaching, we have a scene where the parents are trying to bring the children up to Jesus so that he can lay hands on them and bless them. It kind of reminds, I have a laugh when I read that, because it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, the sports fanatic dad who's at like a sports ground, and he asks his son to take his hat to the famous sport player to sign it, so that he doesn't have to take the embarrassment of asking for himself. And I can understand it. I can understand that desire for us to want our children to have God's blessing upon them. I mean, if Jesus was at Lucy Moore Park down the road doing a sermon, I would be like, "Kids, let's go. We're going to go see Jesus, and I'm going to get Jesus to lay his hands on you." I mean, who wouldn't do that, right? I mean, we would want that to happen. But the disciples, self-righteous as they were, did not take kindly to the parents interrupting Jesus' teaching and tried to stop this from happening. Jesus, it says, was indignant, which in the original Greek defines this as greatly displeasing. Then Jesus says these incredible words, "Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And we have another verse like it in Matthew. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" I mean, what a question. "He then called a child to himself, probably much to their surprise, and set him among them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So whoever will humble himself like this child, He is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so we get our phrase, childlike faith. So we have this rather profound declaration by Jesus that emphasizes the importance of how we must approach the kingdom of God, which is to say how we should approach faith and how we should live out faith. One of the reasons it is such a profound thing is because by Jesus' own declaration, to even enter the kingdom of God hinges on this heart position, on this faith position. One of the key topics Jesus refers to and often calls out many times is this idea around faith. How many times do we read, "O ye of little faith"? Why did you have such little faith? Why did you doubt Peter? Why did you look at the waves and doubt? Why did you not keep your eyes on me? He was not able to perform many miracles because of their lack of faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, guys, Jesus is saying, faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move and it will move. And what is faith? Faith is the certainty of the things hoped for and proof of the things not seen, which we can read about in Hebrews 11. And I did some extensive study on that particular verse on the chapter of Hebrews 11. And from what I could gather, if I could put into two words what all the scholars were saying as they tried to unpack that particular verse, it would be this: to simply believe. To simply believe. That is our faith. It is a simplicity that God is calling us into. And what is our hope? And when I ask that question, what is it that God has called us to hope for? What have we been created to hope for? It's glory with Him in eternity. That is our hope defined throughout all Scripture. And who do we hope for in that? And that's Jesus Christ. Next slide. Reading from Colossians. So He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and are for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister to fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To whom God willed to make known what the wealth of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles is, the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. And what an incredible proclamation that is. What a profundity, and Jesus teaches us not as an option, but as a requirement to simply believe, to have hope, to have joy as a child for the things of God. And we've all been around children, whether you have children or you've got grandchildren or you serve in one of the kids' ministries or you have family and friends with kids. And children are so impressionable, aren't they? I mean, they laugh at the most ridiculous things. You talk about farts and burps to my son, Benaiah, and you will be his best mate. I'll tell you that. Children see through the life. Children see through the lens of fun. The world, to them, is one big playground. And their best friends, the ones that they love the most, the ones they rely on, they look to for good things, the one they have the utmost pleasure and trust in are their parents. And what mum and dad tell them, they believe. Mum and dad said it, it must be true. There is no other option, no other scenario. It is what they said. And then what happens is that we grow up. We grow old and we grow crusty within our souls. Yeah, you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about, right? The simple things are no longer fun because I hold the cares of the world in my mind. The lens of fun has been removed and has now been replaced with cynicism. The word of God doesn't seem to wow us as much as maybe what it did before. Is the church really trustworthy? Can I really rely on other people? Why is life unfair? They seem to have it all together. I am working hard with little reward, and all I want is just to have good health, lots of money, and an enjoyable life. I mean, these are some of the things, these are some of the cries of our soul that we have. And yesterday, when I was reading the word, we got this really big old Bible, and which I don't normally read from, but I just happened to grab it. And I opened it up, and I'm not one of these people that are like, okay, Lord, what am I going to read? Boom, okay, that's what it is. But I just happened to open it up, and it landed on Ecclesiastes, which I thought was appropriate for this part of the message. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, and let me see if I can find it quick, because I didn't actually have it in my notes. Okay, this is what it says. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And it's Solomon saying, hey, we grow old. We grow up and we can lose the lens of fun. We can lose that childlike faith and we can put on the lens of cynicism towards the things in our lives. But the reality is that right now we have tamariki that are over at Tribe and over in Amped. And you know what they're doing right now? Having the time of their lives. They are, I guarantee they'll be having fun. And so my question for you this morning is, are you having fun? Are you expectant today? Are you eager? Are you listening out for what the Holy Spirit is saying? Are your eyes open to the wonder of God? Did you wake up this morning feeling excited to get into your word, into the Bible? Are you chomping at the bit to get into the quiet place and spend time with Jesus? Were you thrilled to come to church this morning? Or have we lost something precious and wonderful that Jesus is wanting to invite us back into this morning? Next slide. The hearts of infants being free from avarice, what care they for a handful of silver more than a handful of dust? I then attempted my Shakespeare version of that, which is, the hearts of babes untainted by greed hold silver no dearer than the dust beneath their feet. Not bad, not bad, right? Hey, okay. I wasn't sure if there's going to be boo and tomatoes thrown at that one, but no, that was pretty good, right? But how precious is that? And I did that because I was trying to understand it myself. But how true are those words? You know, you give a 3-year-old a $20 note, or hey, you want to go splash in that puddle? They'll choose the puddle nearly every single time. What's this? What is the $20 note to me? That looks like fun. Yeah. That looks like an adventure. That looks like something that I'm called to. Next slide. Matthew Henry says, children, when very young, do not desire authority, do not regard outward distinctions, are free from malice, are teachable, willing, dependent on their parents. It is true that they soon begin to show other dispositions and other ideas are taught to them at an early age. But these are the marks of childhood and render them proper emblems of the lowly minds of true Christians. Surely we need to be daily renewed in the spirit of our minds so that we may become simple and humble as little children and willing to be the least of all, let us daily study the subject and examine our own spirits. What a great call, an action for us every single day. I was so deeply impacted, and this is kind of where the stirring really started within me, is we had, I can't remember exactly what the sermon was about, but Lyndon had put up the red ribbons. Yeah. You guys remember that? And I was here, and then Abriana, my daughter, came up to me, and she said, "What are the ribbons for?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe Lyndon will tell us what they're for." And her eyes opened, and she gasped in breath, and she said, "Is Amos healed?" Because, well, we must be celebrating something. The red ribbons must mean something. We must be celebrating something. Well, what better to celebrate than God healing Amos? That was her faith. That was the same faith. How many of us, here's a question, how many of us walked in and saw those red ribbons and thought the same thing? That is what God is calling us back into. That is what God is calling us back into, for that childlike faith to stir such an expectations. And so I said to Abriana, I said, "You know what? When God heals Amos, we're going to put some ribbons up. We're going to find out his favorite color, and that's going to be the color. So if you see green ribbons in here one morning, hey, you will know what's happened." And that same morning, we had a new person that was up the front here. And my son, Benaiah, pulled me aside just as the service was about to start and said, "Hey, she's new. She doesn't have a welcome pack." Which, for my six-year-old, is a pretty observant thing. And for him to have the boldness to be able to say that to me, to say, "Hey, this person, there's something wrong here. This person needs a welcome pack. They're new. They need to be loved and welcomed to show that we care." And so we got a welcome pack for that person. But I'm like, "Oh, Lord, may you give us the same eyes to see. May you give us the same ears to hear of what it is that you want to do with the people that we are around." So making the most of the muddy puddle. I've got a list here of childlike adventures. Some of them you probably will reminisce when you were also kids. Maybe you do this with your kids right now. But I just want to name some of these things out just as a part of something fun this morning. But Christmas morning magic. Who remembers as a child, Christmas Eve, you went to bed early because it felt like you could get the night done, right? You went to bed early because you wanted the morning to come faster. Naming the shapes of clouds. Climbing trees, slip sliding on the trampoline on a rainy day. There have been times where I am in my nice warm clothes at home and the rain starts and my kids go, "Dad, can I go slip sliding on the tramp? Where's the soap?" They pour soap on the tramp, they do those slip sliding, and they're like, "Dad, come on, get out there." And there's a challenge because in my mind I'm like, "Man, I'm crusty in my soul. That doesn't sound fun to me whatsoever." But how important is it for our children, for our tamariki, even for our own souls to be able to do something like that? Skipping and twirling. I've just started doing a bit more skipping in my life recently, and it's actually funner than what you think. Hey, okay, this is a challenge for everyone. If you are able to skip, because I know there's probably some that are not, okay, I want today at some point, I want you to skip. I just want you to give it a go. If you are able to skip, I want you to give it a go. Do at least 5. In a row, okay? And I want you to feel the joy of a little child within you spur up. Studying insects, jumping in puddles, raindrop races on windows, skipping rocks, imaginary characters running on road trips. Does anyone remember as a kid you would have like a character, you know, running on the power lines or on the markings of the road, or it's just something that you're thinking about as you're driving along? Playing dress-ups. Make sure you do that with your children, not just as adults by yourselves. Building indoor forts with bed sheets, swinging on the swing set, playing hide and seek, blowing dandelions, chasing butterflies, Hulk smash with Dad on the bed. My son loves it when he always says, "Hulk smash, Dad, Hulk smash." So I grab him, I lift him up, and I throw him as hard as I can on the mattress. Loves it. Usually right before bedtime, much to my wife's dismay. Water gun battles. Wearing the Christmas cracker crown and telling the not-so-funny joke that you get in the Christmas cracker. Story time with Mum and Dad. These are the things that a child loves. And there will be things that are relevant to that for our adult life that we can embrace and lean into. To carry on some of the proclamations of a child, I've got some things here that I found online which I thought were so hilarious. These are things that children have said that have been recorded, so I'm going to read them out to you this morning. Our Father, who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen. One particular four-year-old prayed, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. A little boy was overheard saying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a really good time as I am. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, who was 5, and Ryan, who was 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. The mother saw this as an opportunity for moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. A mother invited people over for dinner. At the dinner table, she turned to her 6-year-old daughter and said, do you want to say the blessing over the food? The daughter said, I don't know what to say. The mum said, just say what you hear your mummy say. So she prayed, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people for dinner? Next slide. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So I just want to touch on this quickly. At this point, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth about the excellence of love, and that as we mature, we put off manners and habits of children, and we develop and grow into mature adults. And in the same way that when we first become Christians, we are reborn as spiritual infants, but we mature as the Holy Spirit develops us in our pursuit of his kingdom and his righteousness. So what Paul is saying is that we must put away childish behavior as we grow in our stature with Christ. But what Jesus is saying is that we must not lose childlikeness and our faith towards our Father in heaven and the kingdom of God. I remember when I was on Tribe last year, we had one of the girls she had roller skates on, and she was skating around the Wilson Hall. And Tribe had started, and I asked everyone to come sit down, and she continued to kind of dance and twirl and skate around. And so I said, oh, hey, do you want to come sit down? She goes, oh, I'm worshiping the Lord. That's what she said. And to her, she was. That was her expression of worship to the Lord. And so that's appropriate. It would be inappropriate for me to have roller skates on and start twirling and dancing around the chapel here, right? That would not be appropriate. And so we put away childish behaviors, but we don't lose a childlikeness in our faith towards God. It is the position that God calls us to simply believe, because he said it, he has done it, and he will do it. And he is trustworthy. And do we truly believe the promises of God? Because they are given by a loving Father, not because we deserve it, but because he is merciful, and because when we say yes to Jesus, we are saying yes to the sonship and the daughtership of our Father in heaven. We were lost, but now we are found. And do we simply believe? Or is our faith skewed by cynicism? Is our faith determined by a denomination? Is our faith misguided by our culture? Is our faith rattled by past events? And we can replace that word faith with anything: joy, hope, trust in God, love. Or is our belief, is our joy, our hope, our love, our trust in God determined by our relationship with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit? Next slide. I've got some promises here that are in the Word. And these are for you today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and he will make your path straight. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you. My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and the glory in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. For God has so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we truly believe these for us today? Or have we lost something precious and wonderful? That when we read the word, we're not entirely sure. That when we come to church, we're not entirely sure. That we don't feel the boldness and the courage or the desire to even share Jesus with those around us. And maybe the Lord is inviting us back into that first love. Maybe the Lord is inviting us back into that childlike faith, to lean into the childlike faith. I am constantly struck by the words of Jesus, as we all should be. There's a Hebrew saying, and I'll paraphrase it, but it says that the honeybee brings honey to one, but stings another, as with the word of God. The words of Jesus can be sweet honey to our lips, but it also can be the sting within our soul, specifically against our flesh. There is a specific word Jesus uses a lot in his teachings, and it's this word, unless. Now, to understand the Greek mindset of that word, unless, so the word unless is used 63 times throughout Scripture, and Jesus uses 26 of those in his teachings, so nearly half of them. It's the Greek word may, which is an expression of negation. So it's used when someone is thinking about or trying to avoid something that is currently happening. So for example, whenever we see or read the words of God saying, do not be afraid. So when the angels come and people bow down in fear, they would say, do not be afraid. When it comes to Mary, do not be afraid. Whenever Scripture says, do not be afraid, it's someone using that same expression of negation that Jesus uses when he says the word unless. So it's more like, don't do this, be careful not to. Almost like there is a pleading from God, knowing the end result of our current state, because he is holy and righteous, but his mercy and love desires to draw us where he is. And so I've got just 5 examples of Jesus using this word unless, which I want to read out this morning. So we can go to the slides. John 8. And he was saying to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so that neither can you unless you remain in me. Now there was a man, John 3, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus responded and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, do not presume that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter shall pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever nullifies one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness far surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Matthew 18, our verse before, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him among them and said, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So whoever will humble himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know that the most distinguished Christian is he who is most humble and willing to be esteemed least of all. And all these things are counterculture. They are counter our flesh. Our flesh and our culture out there would say that you are number one, that you are a good person, that you don't need anything else. Look after yourself, protect yourself. You are number one. But as Christians, and when we come into that proximity with Jesus Christ, we begin to see and to hear these words, which will either be sweet honey to our lips or will pierce the things of our flesh that are getting in the way of your relationship with God. And we are called to be the least of all. We are called to wash each other's feet. Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, died on a cross for you, for us. The greatest name in all of heaven became the lowest person on all of earth so that we may be saved. Is our belief, is our joy, our hope, our love, our trust in God, our faith, has it been skewed by cynicism? Is it determined by denomination? Is it misguided by our culture? Is it rattled by past events? Or are we determined by Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit? Do we need to take off the lens of our crusty souls this morning and invite childlike faith into how we perceive things, how we look for things? So the question this morning is to splash or not to splash. Let us be a people that says yes to splashing, to jumping in the puddle, to skipping. And we can make a joke about these kind of physical, natural things that we can do, but the point of the message is that God is calling us to not lose that childlike faith. And it's not just an invitation, it's a requirement. He uses the word unless. And we this morning have the freedom, the ability to be able to say yes to Jesus again. That if you don't know who Christ is, and this is the first time you're hearing such things, to know that your sins are forgiven, that there is freedom in his name, and that you can say yes this morning to him. That if you've said yes to God, but you feel like there's a bit of crust that's kind of formed over your soul, you feel like the lenses of your eyes have been a little bit clouded, that there is freedom to be renewed this morning in his Holy Spirit. And how we live that life of freedom, how we keep that childlike faith, how we have the lens of hope, faith, and love is by pursuing Jesus, by spending time with Jesus, and to prioritize Jesus in all that we do and how we live our lives. Do we have the tribe kids? Are the kids in the foyer? Okay. Yeah. Can we grab them? Greg, do you want to come up, please? We're going to have some ministry time this morning. And I've got some little helpers to minister to us this morning. I'm expecting for what God will do here. And I think that what better way to end this message of childlike faith than to have real childlike faith in action this morning. And so what we've done is we've communicated to our tribe and our amped, Tamariki, alongside Jacob and Tammy, that they want to pray for you this morning, that they want to lay hands on you. And while they may pray simple prayers, or they may even just lay hands on you, not say anything at all, that God can move powerfully in and through them for you this morning. You know, Jesus was teaching, kind of like this, right? And children were coming up to Jesus to be blessed by him, and the disciples were trying to avoid that from happening. They were trying to stop the children from coming. And Jesus said, don't stop them. For such belong the kingdom of God. And it's not to say that the kingdom of God belongs to children specifically, and that when we get old, we somehow become a forfeit of that. What it's saying is that when it says that to such belong the kingdom of God, to such as in that childlike faith. To approach heaven, to approach Jesus with the same impressionable desire and passion as children have for the world. The world is a playground. And my parents, when Benaiah asks me things, he will believe what I tell him. Why? Because I said it. And I am his dad. Jesus is inviting us to have the same approach with our Father. To go, when God says in his word that these things are for you, then they are for you. But there is an important position that we hold with faith. You know, it strikes me that Jesus, almost pleading, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, tiny, something, I can work with that. And so there's three things this morning that I want us to respond to. So why don't we all stand? Because I want to make this as easy as possible for you, the adults. We've cleared the front row, and I know that it's going to probably be a little bit chaotic, that there's not a lot of room. But I want you to come up the front if you recognize that there's a bit of crust in your soul, that you've lost something of a childlike faith, that there is a lens over your eyes of how you see the world, how you perceive things. And some of it may be correct. But have we lost that precious kingdom childlikeness that God requires us to hold on to? So I just, if you're feeling it right now, just come up the front. You don't have to wait for me to invite. You can just stand anywhere. You can get on your knees. You can sit down, whatever it is. But just come up the front. There's three things I want to share, but you don't have to wait for me. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. The first one is, if you were here this morning and you have lost that childlike faith, even if you're on the fence, you may be questioning, have I, haven't I? Then God is inviting you up here this morning to receive a steadfast spirit. So come right up, so it's really obvious for the kids to know who's doing it. The second one is if you're in need of healing, if you have a need where only God can work in the impossible, or something that you've been praying for and you haven't got the answer to yet, then I want you to come up the front. And I want one of these tamariki to pray for you, to lay hands on you. Or perhaps this morning maybe it's not even this message. Maybe it's just something else going on in your life. Maybe you just feel like, hey, it's been a while since I've responded to an altar call. It's been a while since I've actually come up for ministry. It's been a while since I've actually had someone lay hands on me. It's been a while since I've actually just stepped out in faith. It's been a while since I've embraced walking down that aisle to come up the front. These tamariki here this morning want to stand with you. Or if you're here this morning and this is the first time you're really hearing about this, or you're on the fence about your relationship with God, and you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, then I'd love for you to come up the front. Don't leave this morning without having responded to this. If you're feeling a flutter in your heart, stirring within your spirit, if you're on the fence, if you have any inkling or desire whatsoever that you're feeling, respond to that. Maybe those promises that we read out this morning, maybe some of those are for you. And maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you just don't believe it anymore. Then come up the front. Let's lay hands. Let's pray that God will return to you the promises that He proclaimed. Father, we thank you for your presence, for your Spirit who is here. God, you love to use the small things. You love to use the things that the world considers least. You love to use the things that the world considers perhaps unworthy or not able. Lord, what a profundity that you have declared that the kingdom of heaven belongs to children. That you've declared that the kingdom of heaven belongs to that position of a childlike faith, and you call us and you require us, Lord, to become like children before you. Help us, Father, to each morning, God, to remember you. Not just in a routine way, but Lord, with excitement and joy, with passion and desire. God, may you remove the lens of cynicism from our eyes. May you make clear, God, what we can see. May we see as you see. May we hear as you hear. May we feel as you feel. God, return unto us that childlike faith where it's been lost. Pour your Spirit, your Holy Spirit out upon us. Excite us for the things of your word. Excite us for the quiet times in your presence. Stir us with expectation for our Sunday morning gatherings. And that God, each day when we wake, Lord, that we wake with an expectation, that we declare, watch what my God can do. That we may ask, Lord, what is on your heart for me today? God, may you do something afresh this morning. The next time that we pray, God, the next time that when we read the word, there'll be a fire within us that we didn't expect. Something rekindled. God, and to know that as we simply believe, that as we embrace you with that childlike faith, to know with confidence, Lord, that we are stepping into your kingdom. We thank you for your salvation, that there is no other name under heaven or on earth, God, that we may be saved, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you bring life and you bring it abundantly. May we not be ignorant of what the enemy plans for us. May we not fear it, because may our positions be in Christ Jesus to live and walk in boldness and confidence, to walk in rhythm with you, to have a spiritual swagger within our souls, that when we face challenges that we may say, watch what my God will do. Even if we don't feel it, may we have that childlike faith to look to you, our Father, as a child would look to their parents for help and guidance. May we have the same boldness and confidence to look to you as our help and as our guide, as your word says that you are. Lord, bless our tamariki for their boldness and their courage to come up and lay hands and pray. God, may this just be the beginning of you using them for your kingdom purpose and sharing your word and sharing your love? And Lord, may any prayers that have been spoken for our tamariki, any thoughts in their mind that they maybe weren't bold enough to pray, Lord, I ask that you would answer. It says in your word that when we seek, we will find, that when we knock, you will open the door, that when we ask, it will be given unto us, O Lord, according to your will. So Lord, I ask that you would be willing to answer these prayers. And God, may we see miracles this morning. May we hear of miracles over this week in response to these prayers, in response to these needs, so that you may be glorified greatly, O Lord, and that we may be greatly encouraged by a God who loves and a God who cares and a God who is able. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, God is doing a great work here in Mahurangi Vineyard and across this nation and the churches across here. And we are expectant to see God move powerfully in this place. We are expectant that when we turn up here on a Sunday morning, we encounter the living God. And this is beautiful ministry. This is working together, collaborating together, letting our young people, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through our young people. So let's continue to be a church of prayer. And let's continue to be a church that leans into what God's doing and to pray for powerful encounters when we gather here on a Sunday morning. But not just on a Sunday morning, but God is moving here nearly every other day of the week in this place. So let's be a people that pray and to expect. And we also want to move freely in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. We really do.